Hello and welcome to Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experiences of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Hello, here we are, halfway through December. And you probably know what's coming. It's the Vicar and the Witch going to have a bit of a rant about
plastic
and packaging
generally.
And stupid presents that people don't actually want.
Oh, and yes, waste, not, want, not, waste, yes. Not, want, not. Oh my goodness, in terms of the generality of the planet, if only we could so understand that quite ancient, solid, good old wisdom, waste not, want not.
Yes.
If we weren't so freaking wasteful, there wouldn't be other people in the world so wanting for a future, a home, a place that's not flooded or burning or...
Yeah, it's the chocolates that get to me. Yeah, those selection boxes. Somebody did a photograph of exactly how much plastic they are.
Oh my goodness! Course, so much plastic, more plastic than actual food.
Yes, and the plastic boxes of roses and Quality Street. We used to have tins. You know, tins.
Yes, which you could then use all year to stick your cake in.
Yes, I mean, you can use a plastic one. I suppose you can, but I've still got tins from years ago. I'm sounding very old, but. Yes, what is it, this obsession? I know there's this idea of the Secret Santa, so you can all just buy one for everybody else. But if you don't know what somebody wants... No, actually, I'm going to contradict myself here, because I'm just going to say, if you don't know what somebody wants, how do you know you're going to buy them? I had a friend once where the only way I could buy things that she liked was to buy something I absolutely loathed. Because our taste was so very, very different. But as a general rule, why? I do have a friend, Becky, who used to make things for me for Christmas. And I wasn't as appreciative as I should have had in the old days. But nowadays, I think it's lovely.
Yeah, that was so funny. This was playing out in my head before we even started. And I realised that what I would be, you know, most likely to say is, for heaven's sake, make something. But I totally get it that not everybody has the time.
No.
And not everybody has the ability.
No.
But... I was then remembering, you know, okay, this doesn't answer the time thing, but for me, the answer to what do you give somebody you don't know well enough to know what they like is always to give them something comestible, as the old word goes. Give them something to eat, because we all need something to bloody eat.
Yes.
And...
But something not too packaged.
Well, exactly, something not packaged. But then remembering how, when I was a kid... Part of the whole of Christmas was doing things like making marzipan and sticking it inside dates and making peppermint creams and making Christmassy decorated gingerbread things and mince pies and all of those things. And it's, if you genuinely haven't got a second, okay, you can't do those things. But I would also suggest if you genuinely haven't got a second, you really need to take some of those seconds you haven't got, sit yourself down and ask yourself, what is it that you're doing in your life?
Yes, that means you haven't got those seconds.
Yes.
And there's a strange joy in it. When I was ill and I was off sugar, Christmas came and I was gluten-free and everything. And then I just thought, oh, but mince pies. And I spent December learning how to make mince pies. Okay, I had enough cash to buy the... gluten-free flour and enough cash to experiment, though I didn't have a lot of cash, but it was really important to me. And in the end, I finally got a recipe that worked so well that every year Lion says, please make your mince pies.
Oh, cute.
And they are. They're superb. They're absolutely brilliant. And the sense of achievement is lovely too. Mm. But they're not pretty. Every now and then I post pictures on social media of my cooking, because my cooking is delicious, but style... No, there's no possibility I would ever get on Bake Off. I mean, tastes great, looks like something the cat brought in is something, you know, the politest way of putting it.
I think I remember a picture of your mince pies from last year.
Yes. and of course, the legendary Christmas cake. I don't know. Have I told the story of the legendary Christmas cake on this podcast?
Is this the Christmas cake that got scraped back up off the floor?
Yes.
Yes, you have. Yes.
Well, the picture comes around every year in my memory, so I always post it as the greatest Christmas cake ever, because it was...
So back to zero waste, and and maybe we're preaching to the choir here, but also maybe we're not, because I was really, have been kind of repeatedly recently quite, I mean, the honest word is quite shocked by people who I know what waste and overconsumption and non-organic farming and all of those things are doing to our planet. In some cases, they're people who have children who are truly, deeply, sometimes living in like fear and grief for the prospect of those children. And they know about the difference that, you know, organic farming makes. They know we can feed and part, you know, in main part, actually do feed the world, world from small, sustainable farming practices. They know that if we burn more and more and more and more fossil fuels, it's going to be too late for our children and their children. They know that every time you buy a piece of plastic tat, you are actually buying the physical manifestation of those self-same fossil fuels. Yes. They know all of those things. Yes. And yet, they still go and buy cheap food and shit objects with loads and loads of plastic attached to them from Lidl or wherever as their weekly shop.
Yeah.
And it's like, why?
Lidl's actually quite good. You can take your own bags, and a lot of stuff isn't plastic. I know, and there's the box. And but other supermarkets are
all supermarkets very culpable. Are very, very, very culpable. Yeah. And
I did buy some mince pies from Waitrose, and I actually took the plastic case back, and I said, "Really? Is there no way you could put this in cardboard?"
Yeah, and of course there is.
Of course there is. But she said, "Oh no, no, it's more expensive. It's and this is all recyclable." And I mean, it might be recyclable, but only at some posh recycling plant other than the one that the council.
Exactly, but also it's. I mean, there's such a dichotomy there. It is recyclable, but there's every chance it will not be
recycled. Yes, and that thing that people put widely recycled, they put that on their. That's Hugh Furry. I can't say
Furly
his name.
Whittingstall.
Yes, we call him huge furry Willy Stall. So unfortunately, that's stuck. Made it absolutely clear that so much stuff that we think is being recycled isn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm quite horrified at the amount of rubbish we dug up moving house. I'm very, very sorry.
But it, I mean, then the put it in cardboard is. Also another thing, because, you know, we need our trees.
Yeah. Sellotape has come up with a plastic-free sellotape.
Hurrah.
I don't know. I'm going to have a look at it. I don't know. I was just about to say that I started doing brown paper packages tied up with string, but the post office won't accept string anymore.
No, they won't.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because it all gets handled by machine and the string gets caught.
Yes.
But you can buy paper tape, ecological, recycled brown paper tape.
Yes, which is probably why sellotape has gone. Whether that's, what's the word for greenwashing?
Greenwashing.
I don't know. I will have to check it out. But yes, you can get tape.
To be honest, as far as I'm concerned, any company who does an ecological one and then continues to do the not ecological one is engaging in greenwash.
You're quite absolutely right.
And for that reason, I refuse. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, I try to refuse, although in some cases there really genuinely isn't an option. For example, I drink oat milk. And all the companies who make the organic one also make a non-organic one.
Yeah.
Why? Why? You bastards. Yes. Why?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. And to me, that is greenwash. That's fundamentally greenwash. Clearly, the thing that is important to you is the profit, not the planet.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. But this is what gets me about the corn and stuff in the freezers. That people think that this highly processed food in the same packaging as everything else is better for the planet. I mean, is it?
I've got absolutely no idea, I'm afraid.
No. No, but it's always being sold nowadays as, oh, there are even adverts on the TV. We don't see a lot of TV adverts, but we've seen a couple of some farmer type going, oh, no, I like my corn sausages now. And then I looked at what was in them. Thought they're no better than the real sausages.
What is in them?
Oh, well, there's an awful lot of mushrooms, which is absolutely fine. It's just the way it's processed. It means that they've got to add nutrients and vitamins to it.
I would be profoundly suspicious of anything masquerading as a foodstuff.
Which has
when
to
you
have...
had to have nutrients added.
Yes, my point exactly. It's not food. Mm. But it's sold as being, it's all vegetarian, it's all vegan. Yes, it is all vegan, but
so
it's not
cardboard.
Food. Yes, so is cardboard, yes.
Okay, I really don't know about corn, and we might be doing it a tremendous
slander. We might very well be, and yeah. If you know better, then by all means correct us. That's yes. Absolutely fine.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh, but yes, then also you go back to just, I know it's hard, I know it is. I've yeah. been that mother with three children under five. Django, excuse me, would you please stop that?
Sorry. Excuse me, I'll go and stop your dog doing that while you keep talking.
Thank you very much.
Django, have my tissue.
Yes. Sorry, he's pulling the sofa to pieces, dear listener. So, yeah, I was that woman who had three children under five and was running my own business in partnership with her father. We were not well off at all. Mm. The
struggling at Christmas with everybody else getting their Nikes or their...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But bless them. You know, one of the things that has come out of my children really not being able to have any of that, and I don't know whether it's as a direct result of this, but it's one of the things that I respect them for so much. So they couldn't give a rat's ass about stuff, any of them.
Mm.
And maybe that is because we not only couldn't, but wouldn't buy them things like the newest Nike trainers.
Mm.
And I suppose we displayed such a fundamental disregard for any form of, ooh, I'm being impressed by something being fashionable or being a label or whatever, that they managed to not be indoctrinated into that particular version of reality.
And it's perfectly
I'm so
possible.
Grateful.
Yes, yeah. It is perfectly possible. But it...
And it is such an indoctrination.
It is.
What, there is nothing... I mean, I'm going to speak about something I know really very little about, but there is, Nike might well be one of the companies who are doing their best to make a recycled shoe or whatever. But before that, as far as I could tell, there was nothing significantly better between the ones who were made by the brands who spend a lot on advertising and the ones who were made by brands who might maybe spent little or nothing on advertising.
Yeah.
What would... The difference in the cost was the advertising, and as a result of the advertising, the perceived status.
Yes.
And that was never demonstrated so clearly to me as when, in partnership with the kid's dad, we used to run a clothing company, and we tried to be as ethical, sustainable, etc. as possible. And... one of the things that we did was, this is years ago, they had a particular name and I can't think what it was, but there were this kind of cotton trousers in a particular style that were super trendy amongst the kind of, well, amongst almost everyone. It wasn't a high fashion item for sure, but it was super cool.
Mm.
And we made our own version of it out of beautiful Guatemalan ICAT. And then it turned out that the super trendy version was actually, one of its iterations was in beautiful Guatemalan ICAT or in weaves that were copying Guatemalan ICAT. That what was trendy. I mean, we're talking festiwear trendy, not necessarily high street trendy, although this item did end up on the high street.
Festiwear,
anyway,
I like that.
It turned out that our supplier was the supplier of the really cool brand.
Yeah.
And so we knew that we were selling the exact same product made of the same fabric by the same people from the same place as the brand that was, you know, had the label.
Yeah.
And probably, luckily for me, so I don't get done for slander, I can't remember who they are or even what this item was called. It was just a pair of trousers, but it had a particular name. And their wholesale price, we were wholesaling at this stage, was more than our retail price.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's out there. It's just, it's the magic of the advertising, the ridiculous dark magic of advertising that makes you think you've got to have this. I guess, while we're ranting, I just get aghast at all these perfume advertisements. I used to use a perfume called Joy. I bought a bottle of Joy after my second marriage ended because I was feeling so miserable. And I just saw it and I thought, if anybody says, what do you smell of? I can say, it's Joy. And I thought that was a good affirmation.
Yeah.
But since I ran out of Joy, I've only ever used rose oil. Mm. And all these perfumes with these extraordinary, I'm sounding very old, these extraordinary naff advertisements of people flying to the moon and things like that, and people falling in love with you because of how you smell. Well, no.
Well, actually, it's strictly speaking, biologically speaking, one of the reasons we do fall in love with each other is how we smell.
Well,
but only if we can actually
smell
each
what
other.
We smell each other, yeah. Yes.
And that's supposedly one of the reasons why so many relationships break down, is because that really basic animal level upon which we know who a person is barred to
yes.
us, because so many people wear deodorants
yes.
is the worst candidate,
yes.
followed by perfume. So we don't know.
And we wash too much.
Yeah.
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 Anyway. But so back to, and you know, the other thing about those kind of perfumes is, aside from all the packaging, all the marketing, they are chock full of chemicals
yeah.
and they are not
and bad bits
good
of animal.
For you or any
Anyone.
Aspect
no.
of anything on any level. And yes, please go find a nice essential oil in a little glass bottle, which will cost you a billionth of the price, last
yeah.
10 times longer
yeah.
and do you and the planet so much better.
Yeah. I had somebody was worrying the other day, she was saying, oh, I've got to have a tooth out, and the dentist says I'm going to get a dry cavity because I'm old. And it's exactly what my dentist said to me. And I said, no, you won't. Have you got any coconut oil and myrrh? You know, just ruche. Do you know the word ruche?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just ruche with coconut oil with myrrh. You'll be fine. And she is. And she said to the dentist, oh, I'll be all right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do oil peeling with coconut. Oh, you know, you mustn't do that.
Why not?
Well, because it wasn't in his technical know-how.
Yeah.
And he couldn't approve it in case it went wrong, and she sued him. That's another thing too. You know, the medical profession can't approve anything that's not legally certified as being okay to use.
Yeah. That's a whole other 9 yards, isn't it?
It is a whole
anyway,
other
let's,
9 yards.
Let's see if we can cycle back round to
so
your,
what can you
your
give?
Other options at
yes.
Christmas. Which
well, so, craft shows, craft fairs,
absolutely. Yeah, making it yourself, whatever it is, even if it's, you know, I don't know, maybe we really just are showing our age, but a jar of chutney.
Mm.
Most people would, well, certainly most of the people I know would bloody rather have a jar of chutney than some piece of tat that
especially
they don't
if it's in
want.
A nice mason jar you can use again.
Yeah, exactly. And oh my goodness.
And it's so useful to have jars like that. As I had a jar of, you made some Mirabelle
yeah.
chutney.
Mm-hmm.
And just before we were, it was actually really funny because it was at the back of the cupboard. And I said to Lyme, why don't we have a cheese evening? And will you have that Mirabelle chutney of Susie's? And then we were going to have to get the front door repaired because we were moving. And I asked on the South Seal page, does anybody know of a carpenter who could help us with this? And this lovely old bloke came and did it for free because he was retired and he was sorry that we were leaving the village.
Aww,
he came. He wouldn't even charge us for things. So I gave him your Mirabelle chutney because I offered him some of our jam because I make lots of jam. And he said, oh, no, I'm not supposed to eat jam because he's obviously diabetic.
Mm.
So I gave him your chutney. So we never got to taste it. And he came back the following week. He said, oh, my, that chutney, that was amazing. Oh, that chutney, oh, top grade. And I just thought it's lovely because even if you don't like chutney, if somebody gives you chutney, you can give it to somebody else who does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, that, you know, what do we used to call it? Regifting.
Yes.
It's terribly frowned on, and yet
it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Please regift it.
Absolutely.
If you don't.
I've got a box under the spare bed for regifting things.
Mm.
You know, it's, oh, thank you so much. Because I will, when I was very broke, I learned always to take whatever was offered.
Yeah.
As a sign, you know, this is prosperity. You don't want it, it's a gift for somebody else. That's equally prosperity. So there's always a box under the spare bed. I can go and possibly have to go, oh, there's that and there's that and there's that. That will do beautifully for them. Because people always, because I'm a chocoholic, people tend to give me books about chocolate. What is the point of a book about chocolate?
Chocolate. Please, just give me the chocolate.
Just give me the darn chocolate without the packaging. But yes.
Oh, there's plenty of amazing, amazing fair trade and organic chocolate out there with biodegradable and recyclable, as in
it's and just I'll try paper. Any kind of chocolate.
Cool. Yes, but don't get her Ferrero Rocher because they are absolutely the worst. Apart what was it, 1% chocolate compared to the rest of packaging?
It was 45% packaging.
45% packaging,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 1% that could actually be recycled
Could be recycled. Yeah. It's also mush covered in cardboard, as far as I'm concerned, but hey, some people like it.
Yeah, much too sweet.
My mum had a whole load of plastic boxes and cardboard boxes, which she used to segregate things in her dressing table and in the kitchen. I have actually found it's really rather useful, but it can be done with cardboard boxes.
Or well, just anything, whatever happens to come your way.
Yeah.
If it, if it can't be recycled, try to reuse or find somebody who can reuse.
Yeah.
But also, I think my main thing is please understand that the fact that it can be recycled does not at all mean it will be recycled.
Exactly.
And I think that the idea that things can be recycled has led to what I see in my rather horribly judgmental way is a terrible laziness in people, in that they will buy stuff in plastic and with those plastic things that hold all the mince pies separately or you know, your yogurt or whatever, because it's fine because the carton can be recycled. But it won't be.
No.
So if you live in Devon, it definitely won't be.
No. Is that true? Is that absolutely
true? As I understand it, there was a post by the recycling guru of Devon, who is one of the directors at Proper Job in Chagford, and he was saying that actually very, very, very low percentages of
the stuff you put out for recycling
gets recycled.
So what happens to it?
Lots of it gets either stuck in an incinerator here or shipped elsewhere to be stuck in an incinerator there.
Yeah.
And then we've got that whole, you know, children's eyeballs bleeding in Turkey or wherever it was because of the rubbish that's being burnt there. And yeah, it's wherever you are, wherever you're listening from, if you go on your council's website, I believe they have to be fairly transparent about the information around what actually does get recycled.
Yeah.
And please have a look.
I
should have looked before I started on this spout, shouldn't I? But as far as I understand it, they have to own up to what does actually get recycled. And the only thing that is unilaterally recycled, the length and the breadth of the British Isles, are the plastic cartons that you typically find milk in. Not carton, a plastic bottle.
Right.
With the funny little
handle. Those are recycled.
Kind of cloudy
stuff. I know,
yeah. That, apparently, is recycled everywhere.
Right.
But, I mean, then you move on to what does it get turned into once it's been recycled? Mm. Well, altogether too often, it's being turned into stuff that is then emitting plastic beads all over the shop.
Yeah.
And so it's still not good.
No. No. And we are so lazy. And I know I'm lazier than I should be. There have been the occasional time when I think, I'll just grab that. But I do at least feel guilty about it and think, no, make a note to plan better.
Mm.
And it's just all this takeaway food as well. That upsets me, all the takeaway plastics. If we ever do have a takeaway, and we're such old farts, we have about one takeaway every couple of years.
Well, yes, one same with us.
Fish and chips, at least, can be wrapped in paper. But we always get stuff that's reused and reused and reused. But even then, eventually it falls apart.
Yeah.
And yes, we've got micro stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm actually sitting here today because I forgot to change my shoes. And I'm sitting in my mum's, I think they're sort of like Crocs, but they're lined and
comfy. And I can see why she got them, because she had sore feet when she was older, and I'm very grateful to have them. But every time I look at them, I feel guilty.
Mm.
But better that I wear them out, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because what else is going to happen to them?
Yeah. Yeah, there are things like that that I just think maybe if I can wear it until it's just not wearable anymore.
Mm. They'll have found some way.
They will have found some way to address it. Because, I mean, you know, there are... We possess, in terms of what we know, the technology to sort this stuff out. Yeah. They have, you know, Paul Stamets and his crew have discovered plastic eating fungi.
Mm, yes.
Fungi who will mop up oil spills. Fungi, I don't know if it's the same fungi, but that you can then kind of, you know, turn into furniture, which is...
Well, and
then...
that's a better job for it to do than be making into rubbish corn. Yes. Come on. Sorry.
Rubbish corn.
Corn. Yes, the corn. Fungi.
That... Oh, right. Yes. I'm pretty sure it's not the same fungi.
Sure it isn't. No. It was just a joke.
But, you know, the point is that it's not like we don't know how to do it. It's not that these problems are unsolvable. Yeah. We just appear to lack the will to solve them.
Yeah. Yeah, and petrol prices go up, we still buy the petrol.
Yeah, but if you live in a place like
this...
Well,
we have to, don't we? Yes.
Well, no, we don't have to. Don't. I mean, ultimately, we do not have to. No, we don't have to do anything.
Mm.
But, you know, here's me with my spouty, don't...
Yeah.
Don't get your plastic rubbish and please recycle and buy organic and blah, blah, blah. And I still get in my petrol car and I will still drive to your house to do this.
Yeah.
But I won't, on the way, I might add, I will do everything that needs doing this week.
Yes.
Because I've made sure that I only go out when there are a lot of things to do. And I save up my lots of things for the times when I need a time and day related appointment. Yeah.
And I'm doing more of that too, because it's an hour to get to you now, if we moved away. But that hour, if I go to a certain way and do the week's shop, I can get the sourdough, I can deliver jam to Mary, I can actually even perhaps walk the hounds on Mary's land if we give him a change, because she's fine with that.
Mm.
So it can be done. But then we do have this incredibly privileged life of having enough. Because we don't have vast amounts compared with other people, but we have enough. And there's a phrase that somebody said, all these millionaires who seek for things and all these people who want more, they don't have what I have, which is enough.
Yeah. Well, and fundamental to enough clearly is the knowing of what is enough. I've always loved Satish Kumar's.
Yes.
An elegant sufficiency.
Yes.
Is, yeah. Beautiful, yeah. And that it is enough, and an elegant sufficiency is enough in a way that you're clear. What it transmits to me is not only do you have enough, but you're so completely grateful for your enough.
Yes,
and maybe this is absolute pig ignorance coming from a place of truly enough, but my sense is that. If we allow ourselves to get off the hamster wheel of, but I need to work harder because I need more money, because I needed to have a new sofa because my old one's unfashionable, rather than because my old one's
falling apart.
Yeah. I was going to use another word beginning with F, but well. that actually maybe we don't need to work as hard as we think we do. And in which case, maybe there is the time for enough.
Mm.
Because when you aren't pedaling so crazy hard, you do have the time to, you know, make a chutney or...
Yeah.
Or...
And it's so good for you to do it. It's such an amazing thing to do, to create.
Yeah.
Well, I think so with cooking, but...
Yeah, me too. I really do. And you know, I'm so aware that there are people who... couldn't begin to stop their daily grind.
No.
Because actually their daily grind still doesn't add up to enough.
Yeah.
And you know, that's another thing really, is that if you are listening to this place in this podcast in the position of more than enough, then I really encourage you to please consider making some of your gifts this Christmas things like the send a cow scheme or send a goat or
Or just at the very least, get that tax code thing for the charity shops when you give things.
Yeah.
Because they get so much more money from everything.
25% more.
Yeah. If you're just, I can't remember what it's called now. Do you remember what it's
called? Gift aid.
Gift aid, that's right, yeah. Yeah, we've got somebody coming around from Devon Hospice. It takes them God knows how long. We had to move the mother's dressing table to the new house for them before they could come and get it. But they were willing to come and get it when they were getting lots of other ones. Good, saving the fuel. And could we sign gift aid when we came? Yes, of course we can sign gift aid. It's no trouble to me at all. Mm. But it is 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. And I'm just so grateful for this gift of this beautiful trolley with all these vegetables and eggs.
Yeah.
Right next door to our house, you know. Yeah. I know where everything is grown.
Mm.
I can buy half a sheep from them if I want to. I mean, it would be dead at the time, obviously. <you know?
laughs> Yeah.
And, of course, we live quite close to the abattoir and I've made a commitment I'm going to it.
Okay.
I'm going to sit, stand there and watch. Because I really think that kind of thing's important.
So do I. I don't think people should be allowed to eat meat if they can't look how it came to live and die in the eye.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't have chickens at the moment, but I've always killed our own chickens.
Mm.
If I'm going to eat them, I've got to face up to it.
Yeah.
What it actually involves.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we still live in a world where there are both children and grown-ups, I believe, out there who actually don't understand that the thing they call meat used to run around, well, if it was lucky, run around in a field.
Yeah.
And, that chicken is not the word for the creature that runs around in the field. Chicken is the meat. The creature that runs around is a hen.
Yes.
Or a cockerel.
Yes.
Or a cock.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not beef that potters around in the fields. It's a bull.
Or a cow or a steer or a bullock.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think it would be very unusual to eat the bull.
Yes. Yes.
But people eat, mostly people will eat steers or bullocks.
Yes.
Typically bullocks.
Yeah.
And obviously some heifers, which are the. So a bullock is a castrated male bovine, and a heifer is a young, uncalved, so bigger than a calf, but not a mother in her own right, female bovine.
Yeah.
And those are the creatures that we call beef. And you know, the fact that I'm having to explain that, because I know from years and years of experience that people understand what a cow is and they understand cattle, and most people understand what a bull is, but when you start using words like heifer, steer, bullock, you're like, what?
Or ox, which is another word for a bullock. Yes.
Is it?
I think so. Read that the other day. Maybe it was bad information.
Okay, I'd be surprised if it was. I thought ox was variously either an old-fashioned word
for it is an old
any...
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe they've changed the usage, who knows, but anyway. Yes,
yeah, could have done. Yes, yeah. I mean, good heavens, you could have endless conversations with, for example, my grandmother about the meaning of words,
I was talking on a workshop the other day about the word Malcolm, because we've been talking about kingdom, which should be sovereignty, which would be a better word for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was discovering in the Hebrew Testament, I'm going off on a completely different line here, that there are two words for kingdom, one of which is in the older one, which has more honour of the divine feminine, which means sovereignty over yourself.
Ooh.
Rather than ruling something. Mm-hmm. And looking at things like the Book of Esther, you actually go, okay, she came into sovereignty over herself. And both words, they come from the same Hebrew root, but they've got different ways that they're presenting, so they are a different picture, but they're both just translated as kingdom. And you just think, oh, we lose so much of the richness of things by not knowing the variety of words and the variety of meaning. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Are we out again?
We are out again. We have run out of time. Well, we've got to go and make something nice for Christmas.
Definitely.
See you next week.
Bye.